This week, we have discussed the issue of tolerance. We've talked about the Day of Tolerance. We've talked about a Museum of Tolerance. We've talked about the United Arab Emirates
Year of Tolerance
for 2019. And today we're going to talk about, we're going to review some information from essays published in the November 5th, 2018 print version of Time Magazine. I could not find an electronic
link to it. I was going to ask you if you ever found that.
Nope, never didn't find it. Okay. I will continue to look for it, but if you happen to have a chance to pick up the print version, which is odd to say, because would you ever need to have a print version of anything anymore?
We have to designate, right, a print version.
But there was a series of essays published in that print version, the November 5th version of Time Magazine, that in the title of the series of essays, I suppose, is Can We Hear Each Other Again? And it's all about, well, tolerance
and
issues that we're having here in the U.S., especially related to some of these political, the political divisiveness that's happening here in the States.
Right. It's mainly about the political divide. And it's time we do talk about this.
Yeah.
These are thoughtful essays. The first one, we focused on the first one, but there are several buried in here.
Right.
That all of them are informative.
Yeah.
All of them are very well written
and
make what we think are salient and very useful points.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to go through and talk about some of them because, you know, and we talked a little bit about this around election time last year and back in 2016 as well, this year and back in 2016 as well. And, you know, the concern, of course, is that we have created such a divide. There is so much of a us versus them that the notion of tolerance is but a foreign concept to most, that especially when we're talking about politics and those kinds of issues.
Right. I listened to an interesting program the other week or so ago. We're trying to figure out when did this divisiveness occur? What was the genesis of this rancor that we see? This it's really toxic divide that separates the two political parties.
Well, and let me jump in real quick because this is correct here in the United States, and we're going to talk about here in the U.S. But this is happening in lots of places.
Oh yeah,
this is happening in Germany. It's happening
in the throughout
UK.
Europe.
It's happening right.
in South America.
Yeah.
Brazil just had an election. Very divisive.
Right. So this is happening all over the world.
Right. And so this person was talking about what happened. When did it change? Okay. Because, and I mentioned earlier this week about when Bob Dole got up to salute at the coffin of George H.W. Bush, that I remembered Bob Dole saying, you know, we disagree when we're debating political issues, but we're friends and we go out for lunch and we're you know, this is a civil debate. That civility is gone.
Right.
And I don't know whether it was his fault or not, but this writer was arguing that about the time that Newt Gingrich came into politics, and he and Bill Clinton had that very rancorous relationship, that that Newt Gingrich introduced a slash and burn kind of attitude. It was that time. He said, "I will shut down the government. I'm going to win at all costs.
Right.
I'm going to win. What I want, I'm going to get. And if I have to shut down the government, I will."
Right.
And that was the first time that this sort of really harsh rhetoric and divisiveness became evident. Was it his fault? I don't know. Because right after that, we had the Tea Party. And the Tea Party said, "We're going to damage things in order to get what we want.
Right.
We're going to shut things down. Mm-hmm. We are going to cause trouble, and we're going to make sure." And now we see the president doing the same thing. I mean, that's how he ran, is that I want my way. And this notion of we have to tolerate each other. And when you're an elected official, you represent everybody in your district, not just the people who voted for you.
Right.
But we're into, there's a mindset now that if you're elected, you get to only represent the people who voted for you.
Right.
And that's a difference that has occurred in my lifetime, certainly. But I think it's occurred in the last probably 20 or 30 years.
Right.
Okay. So we're left with, what we're left with is this rancor, this incivility, this toxic environment where people are not talking to each other. They're talking at each other.
Right. And don't get us wrong. This isn't going to be a purely political
not meant
podcast.
To be.
No, this is we're not going to say that this side is right and that side is wrong.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What we're saying is that because we can't communicate, because we don't respect each other,
right,
because we don't listen and hear each other,
mm-hmm.
We can't solve problems,
right.
and those problems are going to continue to manifest.
Doesn't matter what the issue is,
right.
and I don't care what the institution is, whether
right.
it's politics or education or science or religion, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It applies everywhere.
Right.
Okay. We're not talking to each other.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're not listening
right.
to each other.
And I think that Pope, you mentioned religion, and it makes me recall within the past year or so, it wasn't really an uproar. It was people's ears were perked up when Pope Francis was talking about, that there's a place in heaven for homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
And when
mm-hmm.
he, visited a mosque.
Right.
Right. Demonstrating tolerance at a level that we really rarely see, not just from someone in that position,
mm-hmm.
but from anyone in
right.
such a high
right.
ranking position within any
mm-hmm.
structure.
Right.
That is that's what we're talking about with tolerance, the acceptance or the appreciation that someone else
mm-hmm.
can believe and think something different, and that just because they think something different doesn't mean that they are anti-American or that they're
mm-hmm.
anti-Catholic or that they're anti-anything.
Yeah.
It just means that they think that the country or the church or whoever should be on a different path.
Right. That's right.
It doesn't necessarily mean something negative.
Right. Exactly. Yep. It's not a sign of weakness.
Right.
One of our listeners texted earlier in the week and said, tolerance is the beginning of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And this is supposed to be the season of peace. Rarely is. Rarely peaceful. And some of these articles were written by people who have been in war.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm not sure anybody would prefer war to peace. I suppose there are some people who would prefer war to peace, but most of us would prefer peace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Tolerance is the first step toward that,
right.
whether it's in a home or in a country.
Right.
So, yes, not meant to be political, but certainly political implications here.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I like that you mentioned homes as well, because, we work with a lot of families,
right.
and so when your teenager comes home and decides that they are atheist, or they decide that dad works at a dairy farm, but he decides that he's going to be vegan. You got to have some tolerance. You have to have
right.
some acceptance.
Teenagers do things differently than their parents.
Yeah.
They have different beliefs, and it's part of their independence, and it's important. It's harmless.
Right.
Typically, it's harmless.
Typically.
Yes. But, yes, begin at home.
Yeah.
And work out.
So as we look at some of these essays, and I don't suppose we're going to go through each essay
no.
specifically,
mm-hmm.
but I like the first essay because it talks about the issue of public rage.
Yes.
And that seems to be, that's
mm-hmm.
what's on the news.
Right. Right.
That's what we're seeing is that people are enraged about
yeah.
what's happening on both sides. And I had an interesting discussion around Christmas about the, I was trying to follow our recommendations.
I was going to say, we made recommendations about
and
this.
And so I avoided some things, but...
Mm-hmm.
We have discussions about the wall, and the government shut down. We are in the midst of a government shutdown.
Speaking of intolerance,
and President Trump has made the statement that he would be willing to keep the government shut down for
mm-hmm.
up to a year, even until he gets the funding for the wall that he's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a discussion about that, and it is just amazing to me how frustrated the people I was talking to didn't get enraged, but how frustrated and annoyed and and maybe in some contexts, enraged people get over topics such as that.
Right.
And it's, they're just two sides of the same coin, oftentimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes it's just two sides of the same coin.
Sometimes it isn't.
Sometimes it's not. But we have to be willing to listen to each other. And we you're being quiet this time.
The wall is probably as good an issue as any.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whether I'm for or against it, I have to listen to those who are for it.
Yeah.
Okay. I had, I was with a friend.
You just kind of revealed that you're against it.
I'm against the wall for 3,000 or 4,000 reasons. Be that as it may, I must listen to people who are for it because I need to hear their reasons.
Sure.
Because as one of these writers says, we always have incomplete information.
Right.
Sorry.
Absolutely.
We always have incomplete information.
Absolutely.
Okay. We don't know what's going on in Washington, and we shouldn't pretend to know. And you're not going to get it through the news. I don't care what channel you listen to or which news program you're listening to or what magazine you read. It's always incomplete.
Right.
Okay.
And it's always through somebody else's lens.
That's right. I mean, you can't avoid that.
Right.
So my obligation, whether... So I'm against building a wall. I'm against spending I think there's a better use for $5 billion to solve the border problem. I'm not saying we don't have a border problem. Mm-hmm. I'm saying there are better solutions. But I have to listen to those because I need to get more information. Mm-hmm. It's my obligation to fill in the spaces that exist in my understanding of this issue.
Right.
Doesn't matter what the issue is.
Right.
It could be the wall, it could be abortion, it could be anything. I have to listen to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to listen to the other side.
Absolutely.
But I'm obligated to listen to the other side.
Yeah.
I need to inform myself. I was with a friend of mine the other night who is in the steel industry.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm for the tariffs because it's good for my industry.
Right.
I have to listen to that.
Right.
I would have been opposed to it, but here's a guy I like and admire and respect, and he's saying, for me, the tariffs are good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and that's a great example of why we have to listen to both sides, because our reasoning, and as I said before, it's not that he's, you know, anti. Any foreign country or anti any person in particular, it's that, hey, when it comes to my business, this is what's best for
this
me.
This is better. I have friends who are in that steel business.
Right.
Several friends. And I'm sure they're okay with these tariffs because it helps them.
Right.
These are guys I care about and I like.
Yeah.
You know, so I have to listen. But just if we can go back and by way of introduction, the author of the first piece, Phil Clay, begins by saying that his friends are accused, he's a professional writer, editorial writer, and his friends accuse him of being apolitical, that he's not political enough. And he wrote this article in response to that observation or accusation to say, it's not that I'm not political, it's that I'm just not going to engage in, and I love this phrase, he talks about Ann Coulter, who I think is a scourge on the planet, charitable as I can be, and
you're in for it for the last podcast of 2018.
Well, he refers to it as performative contempt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she throws out these very controversial, nasty things just to create dialogue, I guess, or discussion or something. But it's really a performance act. Okay,
right.
I mean, the
right.
stuff she says is so outrageous that it's a performance act. And he calls it performative contempt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to avoid.
Right.
Is he doesn't want to be involved in performative contempt.
Well, and that's the reason that I think that that's so important, and I know that you agree with this, is that is because other people who aren't necessarily recognizing that she's performing will take that as fact and will adopt that extreme position. You know, we see this with parenting all the time, just to relate politics with parenting. You have many families have one permissive parent and one strict authoritarian parent. if those parents don't keep themselves in check a little bit, the permissive parent is going to get more and more permissive as mm-hmm. the authoritarian parent gets more and more strict.
Right.
And so they continue to push outward away from each other until mm-hmm. one parent is pathologically passive
right.
and the other parent is pathologically authoritarian. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening right now in not just politics, but so many areas right. of our society, is that the extremes keep pushing. You know, what is the most extreme right-wing thing that I can say today? What is the most extreme left-wing thing that I can say today? And they're both ridiculous.
Right.
And but nobody's stopping to say, hey, you know what? This is ridiculous.
Right. And one of the articles in this series is about voting, you mm-hmm. know, the importance of voting. And she's saying, the author said, don't leave voting up to the enraged and right. the engaged. You
right.
know, don't, otherwise, if you don't vote, you're leaving it up to people who are angry
right.
at either end of the political spectrum, doesn't matter which end,
mm-hmm.
or you're leaving it up to the enraged or those who are engaged, which is the big money,
right.
You know, mm-hmm. The people who finance political right. campaigns and who get people elected. So don't leave it all up to them. We all have a voice.
Yeah.
You know, she makes that point.
Absolutely.
But I like the phrase performative contempt, because mm-hmm. that's what it is. It's these little sound bites that
right.
you get on the news, okay? And what he says later in there is that we make decisions about a set of complex issues for which we have imperfect information and no perfect solutions. And that's the whole point, is that if Ann Coulter wants to be, what I resent about her, besides her crassness and toxicity, is if she wants to engage in the debate, then engage in the debate.
Right.
Don't do name calling. Don't mm-hmm. be offensive. Don't listen to the other. I want her to listen to the other side
mm-hmm.
and to incorporate that into it. Just like I have that obligation, she has that obligation. And if you don't take that obligation, then I wonder if you should. That's what's getting in the way, mm-hmm. is that people are not listening to those who have another. She's more interested in offending people and insulting people and calling you stupid. You know?
Well, and that's been the nature.
Doesn't solve the problem.
But that's been the nature of politics for the past few years.
We have I'd forgotten about this. We've been involved in a war for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
Since 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have been at war, active war, people getting killed. Not only Americans, a lot of people around the world are being killed because of America's wars. There's no discussion about that.
Right.
There's no discussion about how to get out of this or how
right.
to end it. We're not having a discussion about it. We're honoring these soldiers at football games and basketball games and all that. It's all great. But nobody's talking about how to end this 17-year-old bloodbath.
Right.
You know? We're not having those kinds of discussions.
Right.
And that's what these writers are talking about.
These are
complicated problems.
And that's the issue where again, tolerance comes back in, because having that discussion isn't devaluing our soldiers.
No,
having that discussion isn't anti-American. It's saying, are we accomplishing what we sought out
right.
to accomplish?
Right.
And if not, we need a new plan.
Right. You know, the president decides to yank the troops out of Syria. Okay. Mm-hmm. No discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't a discussion
yeah.
about that. We're not having it. There's people on this side, and there are people on this side, and those who agree and those who disagree. They're not talking to each other
mm-hmm.
about how to really end the conflict.
Right.
Okay. And that's the dilemma. What Phil Clay says in this article is that he said this rage that mm-hmm. we're engaging in, and it doesn't matter whether it's in somebody's living room
right.
or somebody's countryside, rage is a dangerous emotion, not only because it's destructive, but because it's too easy to get targets then. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm enraged, so I'm gonna go after you.
Right.
Okay. And that makes
right.
going after you okay.
Right.
No, it doesn't.
It's a justification.
Okay.
Right.
Right. Okay. I'm angry. And he says, the moral certainty of my rage must be met with humility about the limits of my knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the crux of what he's saying.
Yeah.
The wonderful sentence.
Yeah.
The moral certainty of my, because when we're enraged, we think we're right.
Right.
You know, I have moral certainty here.
Right.
But it must be met with the humility about the limits of my knowledge. And that's where I disagree with anybody like Coulter or Gingrich, or I don't care what political party, it doesn't matter. And I don't care what institution.
Right.
When you think you're absolutely right,
mm-hmm.
that moral certainty has to be balanced with the knowledge that you have limited information, you have limited right. knowledge.
Absolutely.
And people don't do that.
Right. And we remedy that, again, through tolerance of mm-hmm. listening to each other and right. communicating and actually not just listening, but you know,
right.
hearing each other, what they're saying.
Right. And then he goes on to talk about civility.
Yeah.
A little bit of that
yeah.
is missing.
It could go a long ways.
Right. Civility. So what is civility? It is a display of respect and tolerance, which make clear that you are engaging in a conversation, not delivering the last word.
Right. Yeah. Again, another great sentence.
You know, that's what we do. When we talk about these things, we want to make sure that that we're winning the argument, or we're convincing somebody that they're wrong mm-hmm. and that we're right. That moral certainty again. No. Civility means you're having a conversation mm-hmm. and you're talking and you're listening. That's what a conversation is.
Yeah. Okay?
Not a diatribe.
Right. And civility is, you know, such an important component of tolerance
mm-hmm.
because it is that conversation. It's not, I'm going to try to convince you. It's that we're going to have a conversation and mm-hmm. and learn from each other
right.
So that we can make better decisions and be more informed.
Right. That's right. So. Oh, I could go on forever.
I know you can.
No, this. He says, clearly, stoking rage and contempt, again, doesn't matter who's stoking it, doesn't matter mm-hmm. whether it's a parent, a politician, a clergyman,
right.
doesn't matter, teacher. Stoking rage and contempt in the public square can work. It excites us. It gives us courage to act in the face of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I'm really morally outraged, you know, that takes care of my uncertainty. I'm so sure that I'm right,
right.
okay? That it takes care of my, but we should be uncertain. We mm-hmm. should be uncertain. These are complicated problems. He mentions a senator years ago, when Joe Biden was just a senator, so this was probably, I don't know, 15 years ago or longer, and a senator was talking about one of the wars, and he said, well, so should we just leave? And the guy said, no, we can't just leave because we'll create this vacuum.
Right.
Again, acknowledging this is a complicated problem
right.
that requires a very thoughtful and civil discussion. There's
Absolutely.
No simple solution to these things.
Absolutely. We would really encourage you to check out these essays. There are a number of essays. I know you have things mm-hmm. marked throughout a lot of them. But we really encourage you to check out these essays and engage in some conversation about them.
Right. I'm smiling because one of these, I started to read it, mm-hmm. and it was all about Herbert Hoover. And I said, Herbert Hoover? I looked at the author, it's Margaret Hoover,
yeah.
who is his, I think, great-granddaughter. And she talks about, she said, you think things are bad now in
right.
politics. She said, they were worse.
Yeah.
My children have different phrases for when, you know, you take their cell phones and they call it going Amish.
Okay. We probably couldn't even say some of them on the podcast.
No, because they're young adults now and they have their own vocabulary. And she said that when an appliance would break in their house,
mm-hmm.
they would say the appliance is going democratic. Okay, so because they hated, of course,
right.
Hoover hated Franklin Roosevelt because he criticized Hoover.
Right. Okay?
And she said it was much worse then.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah.
Take a look at her essay. It's really, really good. She talks about we can't learn if we don't listen.
Right.
And she speaks with some experience because her family, the Hoover family, went mm-hmm. through that. Oh, they were on both sides of
yeah.
this issue. So she speaks with some authority, and she says it's the new 1%. America as a whole is deeply polarized. Can I make one point?
Go ahead.
She said, we're really polarized right now. She's not as bad as it was mm-hmm. before in the 20s and 30s, but we're very polarized. But she said, keep something in mind. The most frequently watched news program is Fox, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At any one time, they have about 3 million listeners.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is a lot.
A lot.
It's 1% of the population.
Mm-hmm.
There's 325 million people in our country.
Yeah.
So if they, only 1%
mm-hmm.
is enraged, is not listening. The rest of us should be doing something else.
Right.
Okay. Again, doesn't matter what news program you're listening to. I mentioned Fox only because it's the most listened to.
Right.
But even the most listened to is only listened to by 1% of the population.
Right.
So she calls it the new 1%.
Right.
You know? So let's back up a little bit and let's start listening to each other.
Right.
Okay.
Well, yeah, let's take our responsibility to be informed seriously.
Right. Exactly.
And do that through tolerance and civility and respect. Right. Mm-hmm. So, all right.
Be more tolerant in 2019. Could we tell?
What?
Yeah, New Year's coming, right?
Well, yeah.
Put it on your list.
Today is the last podcast for 2018. You know, next week we're starting a our new system of just one podcast a week. Those will go out on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be a little bit more long form, but they're going to be detailed and researched, and there's going to be a lot of information there. But we hope that you enjoy that little bit of a shift in format. But yes, as you're looking at the new year and you're thinking about whether it's you want to think about it as resolution or just a new plan or some new goals.
Put it on your list of things to do.
Put it on your list to be more tolerant, to be more respectful of others, and to be willing to listen.
Right. Listen to it. Doesn't mean you have to accept it.
Right.
Okay, we're not, because there's another wonderful article in here about where's your moral, you have to have a moral compass. I mean, you have to believe in something.
Yeah.
But just because you believe in something doesn't mean you don't listen.
Right.
Okay. That's what I don't like about people interrupting speeches.
Right.
You know, let the speaker speak. You know, you get your turn.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So be tolerant in 2019.
Definitely. So it is the year of tolerance, after all.
In the United Emirates, and isn't it sad that other countries have to set an example? I think we're supposed to be the beacon of tolerance in our country. We should be setting those examples.
Absolutely. So, all right. That is it for today, this week, and
this year. Right?
So, yeah. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.